It's time for the Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe, or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter-mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
This is the origin of beer. The first beer in the world was brewed by the ancient Chinese around the year 7000 BC. It is known there as Kui. In the West, however, the process was recognized as beer brewing began in the Mesopotamia at the Gaden Tepe settlement, now in modern-day Iran, between 3500 and 3100 BC. It's not entirely clear whether he had a light version or even a craft beer version of this. Just saying.
Swimming in toxic masculinity and wiping their ass with politically correct wash rags. Two douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes in 3, 2, 1.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Hurry up. Kim Jong-un is playing Santa at the mall again this year. Yay.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
Do you believe in love at first sight? Or should I walk by again?
Two douchebags and a microphone says, you ever dream about eating chocolate pudding and wake up with a spoon in your ass? Just asking.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Thank you for joining us tonight. Well, you guys will hear this in a couple of days, of course, because we don't have the ability to go live right now. I'm not saying we won't eventually, because I have some ideas and some ideas on how to get there. So, today, a very sad event happened. I think we knew it was going to happen, but probably not as soon as it did. And that is a longtime veteran of Kansas City radio, Slacker, passed away from complications of some type of leukemia, was it?
Yeah, it was a type of leukemia.
It was a type of leukemia, and it escapes me the name now, but it's really bad stuff. And I don't... They knew it was terminal, yes. I've had enough people that wrote some stuff down on the internet that was saying, yes, it's terminal, respect his privacy and all that. But I don't think they expected him to go this quick. And like I said, the good old complications to cancer, what they're talking about is the chemotherapy probably killed him, is what it is. Allergic reaction, yeah. Or just his body couldn't handle it. Heart attack. Caught a very bad cold. COVID. Something happened, and I don't think they expected him to go this quick. But before he did go, he left a very nice tribute, an hour-long tribute that they played on 101 The Fox. And today, all day, they've had numerous people that worked with him over the years call in and talk about some of their favorite times with him. And anyhow, this is kind of a tribute to Slacker. I know we're just a little bitty podcast and all that, but you know, we are both very privy and know of Slacker's work and respect him a great deal. He was a good guy, yes, by all accounts, and he did a lot of good work. I mean, you know, he was let's see, October 1990, I believe, is when he was hired into KY.
Yes.
I believe it was KY 102 at the time. Then they eventually, you know, they were sold, and then the KYYS call letters are still, I guess, part of Audacity still owns it, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, but some station in St. Joseph, Missouri is actually using the old decal and the KY-102 logo, because those are not, you know, those are not property of anybody that I know of. He worked there until January 2008, and then he went to Fox January 2008, till the present, and he just retired. So, and this was because of leukemia. So, but I think what people don't realize is I think there might have been a person in between it, but when Slacker went to go do a morning show on 101 to Fox, it was at a weird time. Fox, Fox just tried to put in a nationally syndicated show, Bob and Tom, because KY was doing, remember the morning sickness that they did, you know, they called it morning sickness, and Max looked like he had a baby and all, you know, and it was like really getting the shock radio kind of raunchy stuff. Mancow was in town, Johnny Dare had it turned up and was doing all different kinds of stunts, he had Targ, you know, and all this stuff was going on. So 101 the Fox said, hey, we're going to get our form of shock radio or whatever, shock jock stuff, and that's Bob and Tom, and that would be like the classic rock answer to what was going on all up and down the dial at the time. Well, it didn't work. They lost all the ratings they had in the morning. They went from like maybe, if I remember correctly, is like a 5 share to like a 1.1. Nobody liked Bob and Tom. And the reason was is because it's the exact same humor that Max Tanner and Moffat was doing, and Slacker was part of that whole thing, that whole collage. Okay? So what they did actually backfired. And then the Fox kind of learned a lesson. This is the way I see it happening, and I think I'm correct. Okay, so the Fox tried their hand at this shock jock radio stuff, and it didn't work. So then they had to figure out what would work. What would work was a lesser morning show and more music and Chiefs-oriented, because at the time, they were the flagship station for the Kansas City Chiefs. So when Slacker came in, he had quite a job to do. And the job that he did it great. And I can't remember if they went to number one or if they're number three or two or whatever. I think maybe Johnny Dare might have been number one. Or maybe they switched back and forth according to the month or whatever, the trends and all that. So, anyhow, what he figured out and what the 101 the Fox did, and they did it masterfully, is you want a lesser morning show, not as much talk, you want more music, you want a lot more music, and you want it to be sports themed, you want it to be tempered around the Kansas City Chiefs, which are the hot item in town, and they were the flagship station. So what Slacker would do, it was really quite brilliant, it didn't look like that much, but it was really quite brilliant, is he would come up with a Chiefs song of the week, he would have people call in and talk about the game. And he was just kind of like your bud. He was like the guy down there on the porch. You go down there and go, man, what'd you think of that game, man? You know, fucking, man, Alex Smith, I don't know, man. You know, he threw that one interception, but then that next pass was a beauty for the touchdown. Tyreek took, you know. So he was kind of like the guy down the road on his porch, and people walk by and go, hey, Mr. Williams, hey, how's it going? You know, he'd come out to his fence and go, hey, you see that game last night? He was kind of that kind of a guy, and this worked. This worked for that audience because everybody was going away from the other stuff. The people who wanted to listen to Max Tanner and Moffat were doing that, and the people didn't want that much stuff in the morning. They just wanted music and a light ha-ha and some like talk about football. That's what they did, and it worked very well, and he had that job for 20 years. So, and you know, until he was diagnosed with leukemia, and then of course he, he went on FMLA, and then when he came back, he went to afternoons, probably because it was so hard on his body to get up in the mornings. So he went straight to afternoons, and he did a good show in the afternoons too. Actually, if you ask me, I think he was better in the afternoons. And he was, and like I said, he had great ratings in the morning, but I enjoyed him in the afternoons because he had a lot of good subjects that he brought up. He had some little puns, and I thought it was really good. So anyhow, rest in peace, Slacker. It's just, it's sad. What do you say? Rob.
Yes, it
go
is.
Ahead, go ahead.
Very sad.
Yeah. His tribute was very emotional. What he did was he recorded an hour of music and him talking to his fans. And it was so real that this guy knew he was dying. But he still had the fans. He had the fans in his mind. And it seemed to me almost like he was more worried about the fans than his own health. So God bless you, Slacker. Rob, go ahead. I don't know what else I can say.
There really is not much you can say. Living in Kansas City most of my life, and you've lived there most of your life.
Yep.
That's it. That's the man we grew up listening to the last few years. And he was great at what he did. He was great in that profession. I mean, that's all you can say about it.
Yeah. He did some little one-off stuff. Well, not one-off, but little specialty shows that I remember from KY. Like, remember the Doug and Slacker Love Beer show?
Yes.
I love that. That was fantastic. He did little stuff like that, you know. And he was Kansas City. And we're going to miss him a great deal. And, you know, God bless you, man. You know, Slacker, I hope you're in the great beyond doing well. Kansas City is a different town without you, and I'm glad we got to know you.
So, oh, by the way, yes. His time with KY,
yes,
includes switching over to 99.7.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of time in between, too, and I don't know if they all were employed. I remember they took Max to keep him employed. And they put him on 710 Talk Radio, which they owned at the time. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Max, here's you a show. Just stay there for right now, because I think it was, at the time it was Intercom. I think Intercom bought KY and everything, and then they changed the signal to 99.7 KY and started it up again. It did very well for many years, but Kansas City simply is not a big enough town to support two classic rock stations. And KY had a lot of top-heavy stuff. They had the famous DJs, you know? They had Skid Rody. They had Max Floyd. They had Tanner. They had Moffitt. You know, they had all of these people that they were paying good salaries to, where 101 The Fox wasn't paying all that huge, exorbitant amount of money for. And this is not a knock on any of the DJs. They deserved every penny they got because they earned it in ratings and actually being, you know, good people. But, you know, KY was kind of in a bad spot, and 101 used, you know, whoever, you know, different DJs, and used ones that were good enough, and they went to a more music format. And KY was still like the, you know, the call up, and, you know, they give you shit and you give them shit and say a little pun and throw you on the radio, where 101 The Fox is just like, hey, we're just playing music over here, you know. So, and that's why Bob and Tom failed so miserably too. And also, Bob and Tom failed because everybody knew that humor, because that was Max Tanner and Moffitt's humor. And the thing is it's kind of, it's like the chicken or the egg. Did Bob and Tom get that stuff from them, or did they get it from Bob and Tom, or was it one of these things where everybody just thought that's their thought process at the time? Nobody really knows, but that kind of humor was already locked down on KY, And then, you know, and then after that, you know, 101 figured out the formula with Slacker, and they did excellent ever since, and now there's no more KY, and unless you believe that station in St. Joe is KY, you know, but that's a whole different subject. They may be in name, but anyhow. So, anyhow, do you have anything more you want to say about Slacker?
No, that's about all that can be said, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, Slacker, we love you. Rest in peace. We're glad we got to know you.
Rest in peace, Slacker.
Yep, we're glad we got to know you. My car. Well,
yes.
Okay. The first rental that I had to do ran out. And anyhow, so they approved the work to be done on the back end because it was mechanical failure. Okay, the bumper-to-bumper warranty company, which is great. Okay, so now the dealer is saying they can't get the parts in. They said the last time they got rear-end parts like that, one time it took 2 weeks, another time it took 3 months. Well, so anyhow, they gave me a loaner, okay? Now, this is funny on its own. You know what kind of loaner they gave me, Rob?
What?
A souped-up Dodge Challenger.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. I'll send you the picture. It's white and it's beautiful. You know what I did when I took out on 103rd there?
I
almost spun it around. I wasn't used to that power. I took and fishtailed it. It went, and then I see him after I corrected it. I look back there, all looking out the back bay, going, "Oh fuck, we're never getting this car back." I did. Almost lost control. Almost ended up in Indian Creek, dude. I'm not kidding you.
Oh,
I mean,
shit,
I wasn't
man.
Used to it. I didn't expect a whiplash like that. You know, I didn't expect it to fishtail almost all the way around, doing a donut in the middle of a busy road. But yeah, I almost didn't get to have that car because I was a stupid ass. But I straightened it out, and then I've been behaving ever since. Except one time on 150 Highway, I was like, man, I have so much pedal to go, and I'm going 80. Well, Rob, you know, I got it to 3/4 of the way, and I was going about 160. And I'm sure because of... Well, you know what? I don't know for sure because the speedometer didn't go that high. But I'll tell you what. I was going faster than I ever have been in a car. And I still have plenty of pedal left. It was unreal. So, anyhow, well, however many 120, 40, 60, whatever the hell it was fast. And I have plenty of pedal left and I couldn't believe it. And the sound, oh my God. So, anyhow, after that, I went back down to 60 mile an hour, and I've behaved ever since. I'm going to continue behaving in it, because that's the type of car that can get you in a lot of trouble. So
until some little pump pulls up next to you.
Oh, well, I've already had that happen. A Mustang come up.
Have you?
Yeah, a Mustang come up fucking with me. Yeah. and I'm like, fuck, dude, get away from me. I'm trying to behave. I don't want to destroy this. You know, I mean, it'll be on me, my insurance and everything. He come up, me, and I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. So anyhow, I gave him the
don't start getting old.
I gave him the okay, and I turned. So he took out for nothing, and I left on the other road just to get away from him.
Yep.
So anyhow, I should have said pink slip, and then when he came to get it, let's say he would have won, I would have said, hey, this is a loaner. You go talk to, I don't want to say their names. You go talk to them, that's their car. You tell them that you want it. Let's see how well it goes.
Let's see how that goes for you.
Yeah. So now the problem that I have is this right here. They don't know how long it's going to take to get my... to get my rear end parts in, supposedly. So I'm going to call around tomorrow and see if I can't find a place that does, that can get them. But this place says that they just can't get them, that they're just, you know, they're having a hard time getting them from wherever. So we're going to see, because my contract on a rental runs out after 5 days. They can extend it, but they also don't have to either. I'm going to read through all the paperwork. Val's going to read through it all and just see exactly what it says. But I'm kind of in a predicament now. Because if it does go 3 months, what the hell am I going to do? You know, so anyhow, That's what's going on with that. But had a little fun at Walmart today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Walmart is they got everything arranged like weird in there. They rearranged everything, and it's all these self checkout machines, and plus about 20 regular checkout lines. But like only one or two people working in them. I don't know why they have all of them. So I was forced to go to Walmart. Yeah, I was today. So I came up with a couple of tricks to make it more fun. I go to get some dog food, and you know we're out of paper towels too. So I get there and I go through the security gate. I'm trucking for the pet aisle, and like always, some idiot has a whole lane blocked off. That's why I'm armed with three small items that I just picked up on the way, like wart remover, a Mickey Mouse watch, and a can of sardines. I've been doing this for a long time. Whenever someone blocks the aisle, and they always do in Walmart, I throw these items in there. And it's always something like wart remover or feminine hygiene or something like that, especially if it's a dude. And I'll throw it in there, and then later on when they're checking out, you know, they either pull it out and people are looking at them and they act, you know, they oh, this isn't mine. Everyone's like, right. That genital wart remover, it isn't yours. Yeah. So, anyhow.
Why did I ever think of that? I'm going to start doing that now.
It's great, man. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. Just find the most weirdest items you can. And if they have some items in there, because this guy had a folding chair. He had a couple other things, some paper, some computer paper, and I just threw it underneath there. Well, he was over on the other aisle looking for cat food, I think, and I threw it all under there, so he had no idea it was in there. So he took it back to either self-checkout or the regular checkout, and he had to deal with that stuff there. So I quickly put it in the cart, blocking the whole pet aisle, while the inconsiderate assholes on the other aisle looking. Oh, no, he's looking for hamster bedding. I forgot, I wrote this down. Yeah, he's looking for hamster bedding. He's fucking pilfering through it. I'm like, what a loser. I also moved the cart sideways to block off 100% of the aisle just so other people will be even more pissed at him, right? So you know how they kind of like just left it there and it's kind of cockeyed, right? And it's still in your way?
Yeah.
I took it 100% sideways so it blocked 100% of the aisle. So, you know, maybe it might have started a fight. Someone might go, motherfucking asshole, why would you do this, you know? And, you know, at the very least, he's probably slamming it to the side, if nothing else, and grumbling. So who knows what happened there. Second, my hate for self-checkouts led me to this. Each station has a cordless scanner, right?
All right.
Okay, so you go to the first machine, you take that scanner, and you scan the barcode on the machine next to it. Then you take that machine, and you scan the bar. There's QR codes, right? Okay, yeah. When you scan that QR code, it assigns it to that machine. So there's three machines near me, and I got three of them today. And I switched the scanners to the barcode. So I took the scanner at my machine, took it two down, scanned that barcode, and then I brought it back to my machine, and then I switched the other two. You see what I mean? So when someone would scan there, they would scan, their items would go to the guy next to him or the guy next to him. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a guy there, and he's like, he got a bag of Starbucks added to his bill. He was pissed as hell. He didn't even start scanning. All of a sudden, it goes, beep. He goes, what the hell? And the lady next to him is buying Starbucks. So he was pissed. So anyhow, I go to the other machine because I know those three are rigged, and I act like I couldn't figure it out or something. So I go to the machine across the way, and I'm checking my shit out. And I hear all these people going, hey, I didn't buy any dog food. And all of a sudden, they all hit the button light, and these people come from around the corner, and everybody's all mixed up, and they had to avoid everything and all that. And it took them a long time to figure this shit out, too. So, anyhow, I'm like walking through there, okay? And you know, at the end of Walmart, where it has this deal where it says, okay, would you like it to be emailed to you, your receipt? Would you like it in print? And then there's some other function I forgot. So anyhow, I went for the print receipt, okay, and I have it in my hand, and they have the guy at the exit checking your bags. So I walked by, and I have the receipt right in my hand, and when I talked to him, he could see it. And he goes, can I see your receipt? And I go, oh, I got it emailed to me. He looks at me funny, and he lets me go very cautiously, but he knew I was lying to him, but he couldn't prove it. He wasn't... They're taught not to be confrontational, so he couldn't accuse me of having that receipt. He couldn't accuse me of that. And then finally he looks at it again, he looks at me again, and I'm just sitting there grim looking like, yeah, that's right, you fucking heard me. I had it emailed to me, I don't have it. I didn't say that, but I'm just looking at him real grim, and he very cautiously goes, go ahead. And I'm walking off smiling at him. I go, have a nice day. And he grumbled something like, you too. He knew I was fucking with him, but there's nothing he could do.
Yeah.
And there's little tricks you can play on these fuckers. They set it up to where you, in my opinion, they set it up to where you pretty much have to go through self-checkout if you have a certain amount of items, because every item that's open is at 10 items or less or express lane. So let's say you have 25 items, you can't do it. Well, today there just wasn't anyone over there except way down at the other end of the store. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to have a little fun while I'm here. And I did. So anyhow, that has been my day.
Boy,
so
far. You were in a mood today, weren't you?
Oh, I was snapping. I was snapping mad. The whole thing, the Challenger settled it down a little bit. But, man, this whole thing about hitting parts just irritates the fuck out of me. And I took it out on some innocent people. Because that's what you do, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Rob, we turn to you after my debauchery and weird shit. It's your turn.
I have a little story here about Patrick Mahomes.
All right. The Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
Greatest football player ever, Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, sir.
All right, go for it.
His resume to date has been nothing short of sensational. However, is Patrick Mahomes really where he wants to be? Right here, right now? Don't panic, Chiefs fans. There's no suggestion that the two-time NFL MVP and three-time Super Bowl champion is leaving Kansas City.
And three-time MVP is Super Bowl, too.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, the opposite is true, with a bit of a twist. I've talked to the Royals, said Mahomes, to Sean Gregory at Time Magazine, and if I can maybe go out to a spring training, I'm not opposed to that. I'll get it approved by the Chiefs and everything like that. But maybe one of these years, I go out there and see what I got.
Well, that would be cool.
Hit the ball or pitch or whatever that is.
Well, he was a pitcher and he was a really good pitcher.
Huh?
He was a pitcher and he was a really good pitcher. He could have been drafted by Major League Baseball, but he opted to go to football. Did you know that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Maybe not in the games, but I can at least practice with them. As for the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid's thoughts, well, I haven't even thought about that. You're hitting me with a pretty big one right there. He was a heck of a baseball player. He grew up around it. I'm sure he could play in the major leagues. I mean, he's pretty gifted. He'd have to take me as a manager.
I love his... that was the perfect reaction. Because the Chiefs don't want him playing basketball, and it's in his contract. You can look this up for real.
Right. No, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So I think baseball is probably the same. What if he gets hit in the head with a pitch? You know, or breaks his hand. Someone throws a fastball tight. He tries to hit it, and it breaks his hand. What if he tears his hamstring throwing a pitch? So I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be the same verdict. No, you cannot. But I love the way Andy Reid turned it into a joke, because he's probably thinking, nah, that's not going to fly.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're
not going to fly. I mean, they used to be able to do that.
used to, but now they're such a valuable commodity monetarily.
Well, yeah, he especially is.
Look, he's getting $500 million or more, probably more now. I think they restructured everything. So he's getting at least $500 million plus all endorsements. No, I'm going to say that in that contract, I'm sure there's stuff like, know this, know this, know this, know this, know this. And I'm pretty sure baseball's probably in one of them. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Well, so, I could see where they would agree to let me go practice with them.
I'm not even sure about that.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose he could be practicing with his kid when he gets older and do the same thing. I mean, I don't know, maybe practicing, I don't know. But as in playing, I really highly doubt that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, because at that point, you'd be playing teams from the from where you play.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So you play Cleveland. You know, or whoever.
Uh-huh.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They could go to hurt you.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, you're playing playing Los Angeles, and the Chargers are like, man, we're getting tired of losing this motherfucker. Throw him high and tight.
Right.
If you hit him, who cares? I could see that happening.
Yep.
Yeah, so dirtier things have happened in sports. I mean, you know. What's her name? Nancy Kerrigan took a fucking cap on her knee. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, let's take our very late first break. That sound good?
Sounds good.
We're going to come back, and I'm going to have a spotlight on turnips. And I'm not joking.
All right.
All right.
I believe you.
Okay. Stay tuned.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Hey, sure. Produce a sound similar to a fart, but only once, such that you cannot reproduce it and prove that it was just the chair.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no.
It's the island of horrible jokes.
Ugh.
A wooden shoe in my toilet. I guess it was clogged.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Let's see here. A package of 8 hot dogs. A package of 10 hot dog buns. I would have to buy 10 packs of hot dogs and 8 packs of buns to even it out. Should I buy them at once? Should I freeze them? Or just continue to zigzag them and hope for the best? I hate adulting.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Okay, it's post-apocalypse. And you're walking down the barren wasteland that used to be a city. You find an old can of beans lying in the middle of the road, but you do not have a can opener. What you do then is you find a patch of concrete, you rub the top of the can for 5 minutes, then you go to the middle of the can and squeeze it, and it should pop right open.
Hello, this is Satan. You might know me from my pet name, Inflation. I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to relax than listen to 2 douchebags and microphone by a nice warm fire at night. I sit there and I reflect on all the souls I burned that day. Enjoy.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone. Next time you take a dump, listen to 2 douchebags and a microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
Thank you.
Phone, I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Alright, like forementioned, you're probably like, what the fuck, turnips? What the hell's wrong with this guy?
Hey. I like turnips.
I do too. They're good. And also, this is two douchebags and microphones, so you gotta expect something weird, right?
Yeah, you never know what's gonna come out of our mouth.
Yeah. Well, tonight, my spotlight is on turnips. First, a couple of origins of sayings about turnips, and then what turnips are good for. So, the first saying is, can't get blood from a turnip. According to the phrase Bible, that's the name of it online, ancient Romans would eat turnips for extra anger when going off to fight. So they originated the phrase, can't get blood from a turnip, which means no blood would be spilled from Romans. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had turnips in Rome. I guess so.
I didn't either.
Well, there you go. The next one, straight off the turnip truck. It is an idiom that has been used in conversation since the early 1970s and alludes to someone from the country hitching a ride to the city, therefore on a turnip truck. That one, you know, that one didn't catch me off guard. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm going to go to what turnips are good for. Turnips play a significant role in the National Heart and Lung and Blood Institute's DASH diet, which medical experts have designated to bring down blood pressure by releasing sodium from the body and helping arteries dilate. So that's what turnips are good for. They're actually very good for you. So, there's my turnip.
I'm going to start eating more turnips.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna like, maybe, I don't know, like have a turnip enema, maybe, you think? Boil some turnips and, you know, let it cool down a little bit and just turn myself upside down with my ass open.
There you go.
All right. What a visual, right, Rob?
Very well. Very well.
All right, Rob, we turn to you for something better because we need it right now.
Okay. Well, this one's kind of out there, too.
Fine.
Employees being inebriated on the job has long been a workplace hazard, but according to one boss, it's a non-issue. From caffeine and cannabis to Adderall and Xanax, many legal drugs are, according to business owner and columnist Gene Marks in a New Guardian op-ed, being used on the clock like never before. I know this because I know many of these people, their friends, workmates, and even family. I'm one of those people, Mark admitted. Do I care? Not one bit. We're all grown up, right? With the rise in remote work culture, allegedly to blame for more and more people choosing to toke up or get drunk while working, some bosses are spooked and have chosen to engage in surveillance tactics or enact draconian new drug-free remote work policies.
Uh-huh.
As the owner of an entirely virtual B2B tech company, however, Marks could care less what his employees are up to. So long as they're getting the job done, that is. My company is totally virtual. For all I know, they're microdosing, toking, snorting, injecting, and doing shots all day. I can't be responsible for their behavior, nor should I be, he wrote. They're grown-ups, and as long as it's legal, they have every right to do whatever they need to do a life on Earth in these stressful times.
I love that thought. Why would they care if they're not really affecting their work? If they're doing their work, you know, and not breaking the law or hurting anybody or something, then yes, of course.
Well, this is a virtual tech company, too. I mean, it's not like you're running machinery.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, I've always wondered how come they wanted to delve into your personal life so much. Man, to me, if someone wants to go home and take a hit off a joint, who gives a shit? Who are they hurting? You know, as long as they're doing their job correctly and not breaking a... Yeah, well, I mean, before they're breaking law, now they would not be if they're in their Missouri. And in Kansas, Kansas near the state line doesn't care, let's face it. You know, they're so close to us. You go down to this dispensary close to me, about a mile away, and we're a mile away from Kansas. Every car in that lot is Johnson County cars. They're just coming over here and getting it. And there's no Leawood cop, there's no Overland Park cop on the other side there to get them. Because they know better, you know. This, they're like, you know what? Hey, those guys come over here to sports gamble. We go over there to buy pot. Simple enough.
I know a lot of other Kansas people, actually down towards the southern part. That run down to Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, Kansas is the only state that doesn't even at least have medicinal marijuana. But they have sports betting. They are such a confused state. Well, actually, Missouri doesn't have sports betting. So
we have always said that.
Yeah, that's true. This is true. Yeah, and the funny thing is, and this goes back to me, in my opinion, to the Bushwhackers and the Jayhawkers during the Civil War. There's still a little bit of a rivalry there. And they still have a little animosity left over, I think, from that. Because you ever go to someone and go, hey, I live in Kansas City. Kansas? Hell no. Missouri. You know, there's still a lot of that going on and vice versa. Oh, yeah. I live in Missouri? Hell no. I live in Kansas. I think that it is left over from the Bushwhackers and the Jayhawkers. You know, the Jayhawkers were, of course, over there in Kansas, and that's what their teams are named after. And so Missouri burnt down, well, the Bushwhackers burnt down Lawrence. So there's actually a monument of this in front of the courthouse, the new courthouse in Harrisonville, Missouri. They call that area on two highway there and all around it the Burnt District. Have you ever heard that?
No, I had not heard that.
Okay.
When did they start doing that?
After they burnt Lawrence down and they all came back to Missouri.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yes. What they did was they burnt all the trees around there so they could see them coming. So they called that whole area the Burnt District. And you and Harrisonville, in their infinite wisdom, put up as a monument of the Burnt District. And I'm not kidding you. A giant fireplace. I'm not joking you. It's right off the 2 highway in front of the new Justice Center. I'm taking pictures next to this thing. I've ridiculed it. I made fun of it. I mean, you know what? I don't know why. the Burnt District. Hey, what are we going to make? I don't know. A statue of Paul Brown? No. So, how about Grant? No. How about one of the famous generals around? No. How about a fireplace? Yeah, that'll do it. So, you can't make this shit up. You cannot. It's not my fake story either. Look it up. Sorry, I was so busy having fun with that, I got myself into a pollen frenzy.
Right.
I got a little story
that
here.
That is hilarious, dude.
It is.
Only because, just hilarious.
I mean, who the hell thought, let's build a giant fireplace in honor of the Burnt District? Isn't that kind of like rubbing it in? but anyhow, there's still that little bit of rivalry between both states, especially around the state line. This whole area around me, especially to the south, a little bit to the north, was a Civil War country. We're the middle of the country, and this is where both sides met so many times. There are all different types of monuments and historic sites and all this stuff, you know, that are dedicated to it. So, the old town of Midway, which the school that I went to was named after, was just outside of Freeman, Missouri, and Missouri. Right. And anyhow, you can still go there into some of the farmers' fields and see the hotels that the Jayhawkers burn up while people were in there. You can see old dishes there. And this was as of 1982 or 3 when I was in school, and they took us down there with metal detectors. We found old doubloons and stuff. And that's how a lot of that stuff is you go to the creek beds, you can still find in certain areas some of the old gold coins and stuff, or maybe not gold, but whatever they had, coins for Confederate or Union, you know. And so there's a lot of Civil War stuff around here. So anyhow, I'm going to go from Civil War to, I don't even know how we got on Civil War, but okay. Gray wolves hadn't been seen in the South since the 1900s. This winter, a local hunter shot one. The first time the species had been found in southern Michigan, which is quite a ways away from the southern section of the United States. A series of genetic tests on the harvested animal determined it was a gray wolf. I said the gray wolf was not extinct, but was staying away from the nastiest predators of all time. That would be man. So, anyhow, you see, one wolf tries to make peace with man, and what do? They shoot him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's interesting that there are still gray wolves. They didn't think they were around anymore, but they still are. And is in southern Michigan, not in southern United States. So, okay. Rob, I turn to you to save this program.
A piece of space station debris has caused chaos by crashing through a roof of a house in Florida. NASA has confirmed the bizarre incident occurred in Naples, Florida last month when a cylindrical object plummeted from the sky and was later examined at Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral after tearing through the homeowner's roof. NASA identified the intruder as a metal bracket once used to secure discarded batteries to a waste pallet on the International Space Station. This pallet had been jettisoned into space back in 2021 with expectations that it would disintegrate upon reentry to Earth's atmosphere.
Guess not.
However, this fragment defied the odds and made it to the ground. Weighing about 1.6 pounds, the metal piece measured 4 inches in height and around 1.5 inches in width. Alejandro Otero, the homeowner, told Wink News that he was away on holiday when the incident occurred, leaving his son to discover the aftermath.
Wow.
Yeah, they said that that defied the odds. That they should have never made it.
They thought it was going to burn up in atmosphere, and clearly, I guess they were wrong. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine you could be like walking down the road. There are instances of that. People walking down the road and getting nailed in the head and they die because space junk hit them. It's true. You can look this up. There's several documented cases. So, real quick before we
They had jettisoned that. So not only are we polluting our own planet, now we're polluting outer space.
We're shipping trash
into
outer space.
Is that what I'm reading?
We're shipping trash into outer space, Rob. We are. Yeah, that's why they're on Mars. God. They want to go destroy that next. Go put a couple of trailer homes on it and fucking natty light. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, Mars is going to be trash. Real quick.
And don't forget about the Ferris wheel and the train.
the Mars Ferris wheel and the train.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of Ferris wheels, I got a story I want to go to before we go to our second break. A new cruise ship next year will have a thrill ride off the edge of the ship. 160 foot above water is a swing. Yes, a swing. MSC is the cruise company that came up with this gem. The MSC World America, which will be sailing out of Port Miami next April, will actually have swings that go out over the water from the ship. And this is like a regular swing. I'm sure you're buckled in, but your feet are dangling and you're, you know, pretty much just kind of like there on a little swing set. Now you are buckled in and secure, I'm sure, but you still have the same sensation of being on a swing set high in the air, 160 foot up over the ocean. Is that pretty cool?
Yeah.
I think it is too.
Yeah, that is cool.
Like I said earlier this year, I rode a roller coaster on a ship, and that was really cool and unique. It was actually more frightening than I thought because there are several turns there where it looks like it's just going to fly right straight into the ocean, your whole cart. But of course it doesn't, because, you know, we all know roller coasters. They're designed to look like that, like you're going to go flying off the edge, but you don't. But still, the sensation was there, and it's pretty cool. So now there's going to be a swing set that goes off the edge. So I think I might have to trek over to MSC and try that one. So anyhow, let's take our second break, and we'll be right back with more nonsense and garbage. That sound good, Rob?
Sounds good.
We're just like a really funny radio show with all the funny taken out.
No bat light here. These idiots just show up and hope for the best.
Since we haven't a budget here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, here's a random guy on the street to promote our show.
Hi everybody, I'm Freddy. I love listening to Two Douchebags and a Microphone, and I get all my pertinent information from them. They are incredible, and I love them so.
Introducing Rob Rad's new book, How to Track Your Enemy by Scent. That's right, smell your enemy before they get you. Order this gem now and get a free virtual tour of Rob's secret bunker in Camdenton, Missouri. Also receive a free copy of his new book, How to Clean Raw Sewage for Food. Now, from the makers of the Who Bit My Asshole board game comes the Rob Rad Jigsaw Puzzle. That's right, put Rob back together. This brilliant glossy photo of Rob wearing a loincloth in a rainforest is the perfect stocking stuffer. Order now and get a free butt plug keychain. All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Heard Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under 6 or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has 3 distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renews It cartridge.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Let's see. If a worm could talk, would it be argumentative? I may never know. Two Douchebags and Microphone, I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
I was going to go into a little bit serious story about some idiot that tried to rob a Shell station with a snake. But instead, I'm going to go into a little bit more lighthearted one. And these are hole-infused popsicles.
Okay.
Vail Vodka Pops are 8%. Average alcohol by volume. Ice pops infused with Vail vodka and flavors like blueberry and watermelon that clock in around 100 calories, 12 for $17.99. Largo Bay Spirit Pops are 8% alcohol by volume, ABV, with flavors like mojito and strawberry daiquiri, 12-pack for about $17.99. Truly Lemonade Freeze Pops, the popular Seltzer brand, however you want to say it, brand has flavors such as strawberry, mango, lemonade, and original lemonade. Only 80 calories per treat. It doesn't say how much they are. Cutwater Cocktail Pops, 80 calories and 7% alcohol by volume. Popular flavors like
lime margarita, gin melon. Enjoy 12 of them for $24.99. Nature Days Frozen Icicles. This is Natural Light's version of Boozy Pops with flavors like strawberry lemonade and pineapple lemonade. These will not hit stores. Oh, no, these will hit stores soon. The old ones that they had will not be in stores anymore. I'm sorry. So they'll be in stores soon. Bud Light Seltzer Pop Frozen Icicles are part of a retro summer pack with a tie-dye design, and they are 5% alcohol by volume and around 100 calories. Flavors like cherry limeade and blue raspberry. So there you go, you alcoholics. Have at it.
Yep.
All right, Rob, I turn to you once again to turn this program around and the fiery crash that I caused.
Well, I'm going to go into kind of a more serious. It's something I ran across. It's five things we should keep to ourselves.
Oh, boy.
This is more of a serious one. The first one is your finances. Many people find money a sensitive subject, and we should not feel obligated to discuss it with others. Sharing details about our income, expenses, or debt can lead to judgment, unsolicited advice, or even exploitation.
Wow. I would agree.
That's true. And I for one, have always tried not to do that. You know, my financial is me, you know.
Everybody goes through financial hard times unless you're born wealthy. Everybody does. And the thing is nobody really wants to hear it because we've all been through it and we'll probably be through it again at some point, right?
Right.
So, people simply they don't want to hear it. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, people going, oh, man, I got to go to work today. Well, everyone else is thinking, well, so am I, asshole. You know, it's kind of like, yeah. So I agree with that 100%, yes.
Okay, the next one, your relationship issues.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Relationships are complex and often fraught with challenges. When going through a rough patch with your partner, turning to others for advice or support can be tempting. However, it's important to remember that every relationship is unique, and what works for one couple may not work for another.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
I agree with that 100%.
Yes, a lot of times you do kind of need somebody to talk to.
Yeah. Here's what I hate.
You know?
When someone, you know, comes in and paints a picture of their girlfriend or boyfriend just being horrible and they didn't do nothing wrong. That drives me nuts because I know better, right?
Right.
It's almost always double-sided. It's not always, I'd say 99.99% of the time, it's two people's fault, not one. Okay? And then they come in and they go, that bitch did this and this and this. I can't believe she did that. It's like, well, okay, leave her. No, I don't think I can do that. Yeah, you can. If she's that bad, leave her. Other than that, I don't want to hear what a bad person she is, right? Agreed?
Right.
Yeah. I have a couple of people in mind that do that, and it drives me nuts. It's like, okay, fine. I know they're horrible. Leave. No, we're talking it out. Well, then I don't ever want to hear you bash her again and say what a horrible person she is.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyhow, go ahead.
Next, we have your health concerns.
Yeah.
Our health is perhaps the most personal aspect of our lives, and we should not feel obligated to share it with others.
I know. My anal warts freaked everybody out when I told them about it. I just don't know why that was off limits.
Yeah, see, I don't mind talking to people about going to the urologist.
Yeah, I scraped them off. It was no big deal. They didn't come back. will sandpaper.
Talking about your health concerns with anyone other than a healthcare professional can lead to a host of problems, from unsolicited medical advice to potential discrimination.
Yeah, I
could see that.
Unless you're talking about anal warts, that's okay.
Yeah, you definitely have to talk.
You have to get that out there. You got to let people know what you're going through. They will sympathize.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Your personal goals and ambitions. Setting goals and working towards them is integral to personal growth and development. However, sharing your goals and ambitions with others can sometimes do more harm than good. When we share our dreams with others, we open ourselves up to potential criticism, negativity, or sabotage.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
Well, I mean, there's a fine line too, isn't there, Rob?
Of what's
acceptable and what not. I mean, for real, really, if you really want to get down to it, right? And we most of us know where that is, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Anyhow, you got more?
There's one last one.
Okay.
Your controversial opinions. We all have opinions on various topics, from politics to religion to social issues. However, sharing our controversial opinions with others can be a risky proposition. In today's polarized world, expressing an unpopular opinion can lead to heated arguments, damaged relationships, or even professional consequences.
That's
pretty much a given.
We are so polarized by our politics here in America, and I know there's other stuff too, you know, but politics is one of the main ones. We're so polarized to where we're conditioned to think that the other side is completely evil, and you should not talk to them. If you are the other side, then you want the destruction of Earth. When actually most people are probably in the middle, and they just picked a side, right?
I
would agree with that 100%. Thank you, Rob. That was a really good article.
I got to reading it. Man, the more I read into it, I just read a short part of each one. I mean, it goes on to say a little more about it.
Well, I like the way you did it. Yeah. You gave a little rough draft of everything. You illustrated a pretty good picture, and then you got away from it. And I'm starting to learn how to do that on some articles, too, because I have a bad habit of reading too much on them, and then they're trying to come up with a pun or something, and I sound like an idiot for even stating it. So, like now, I'm starting to proofread some stuff a little bit better. You know, my thing is time. I just don't have enough time to do all this. So a lot of times, I'll just download the article, and then when we get, you know, to our program, I just start reading it. Well, I need to start proofreading the stuff, and then just like crossing off shit I don't need to say, and stopping the article way before. I need to learn how to do that, honestly. You're doing it really good. I need to learn the art of when to stop it. When I got the point across and everybody knows what I mean, and then they can decide for themselves.
Right.
So,
honestly, I have a lot saved up. It's like 10 of these, 7 of these, you know?
Yes.
And to read the whole thing, it would take for one break to the next break. Yeah, it'd be a third of our show.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we got to break these down.
Yep. I agree. I mean, you know, the whole thing is we're not a serious program, number one. So why would we go into anything too much? You know, we try to keep things as lighthearted as possible. We do cover some serious subjects, but like I said, we're just an outlet for people. We want people to laugh and have a little ha-ha, and, you know, if you like crude humor, we may be your cup of tea. If you don't, then there's plenty of stuff on the radio dial you can turn to, and you will get the doom and gloom and the seriousness and the Israelis against the Iranians and the Palestinians, you know, and all that. You can get that anywhere. So this stuff here is a dying breed. You don't get it on the radio anymore. You don't get the crude humor. You don't get the dick jokes because they simply can't do it because of FCC rules and government interference. So that's why all of this stuff went to the internet, and we're simply just trying to do that, trying to give everybody a ha-ha. So anyhow, I need to learn how to kind of, you know, color between the lines a little bit better. So I've got a little story here. Pretty interesting. Okay. Coast Guard Navy rescued three stranded men after spotting help sign made with palm leaves. United States Coast Guard and U.S. Navy teams teamed up this week and rescued three men found on a remote island in the Pacific, officials said. The fishermen, all in their 40s, have been on the island about 415 miles southwest of Guam. The rescue marks the second time in less than 2 weeks someone has been rescued from one of those tiny islands. The men spelled help using palm leaves laid on a white sand beach before being rescued Tuesday, according to the U.S. Post Guard. The men, three relatives who had not been publicly identified as of Thursday, were found in good condition and expected to survive. So, Coast Guard said that the fishermen were on there for about a week. And anyhow, they figured out that if they spill out help and palm leaves, that people flying over will realize they're not fishing and they are in fact stranded. I don't know what they ate for that week, it does not say. But they had to have eaten something, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they had food with them. And however they got stranded or whatever, you know, they still had the food with them and that's what they ate. I don't know. The article didn't go into any of that, but I thought it was pretty interesting. So, Rob, you got something?
I'm going to go through and find something else.
Okay. Let's see here. I got something here, if you don't mind.
That's about all I went over for the night, but I do have others in me.
Oh, okay. Monster Energy Drink got into the craft brewery not that long ago. Monster acquired Canarchy. Craft beer platform is at $330 million in 2022. Despite the promise that the category has shown over the years, Monster has reportedly laid off numerous staff members in that industry. All the layoffs are reported in the Cigar City Brewery out of Florida, and it's interesting because they just started their craft beer segment of Monster Energy 2 years ago, and now they're already downsizing and possibly getting rid of it. But that's how much the craft beer industry has declined. Now it's like craft mocktails and craft cocktails, and craft beers are already out. People, the younger generation is not drinking them. And people like you and I, they're neat for a while, but then we go back to our regular beers. Mine's Yuengling and yours is what, Natty Light, right?
Yeah,
it's great to get a Dunkel here. You know, something like that, you know, a brown ale, a IPA. It's great to get some of that stuff, a lemon shandy or whatever, but you eventually go back to your staple beer. And that's what's going on. People got tired of that. Oh, now this is a great pairing with a cigar, and this is a great pairing with clams, you know. And people got sick of that. They're like, yeah, just give me back my fucking Natty Light and just leave me alone. And that's where I'm at. I'm like, give me a nice cold Yuengling in a glass mug, and I'm the happiest man in the world. So, anyhow, I think we could probably go ahead and cut this thing down for tonight. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I did come up with another one.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay. Pauly Shore and Comedy Store are at the center of a lawsuit over an assault and battery incident back in December. Yes, Pauly Shore, that comedian.
He has seemed to have gotten a little violent here and there, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, according to USA Today, comedian Elliot Pursuti filed the suit against the jury duty actor and the comedy club he owns, alleging he was assaulted by bouncers at the club. According to People, documents on the lawsuit allege that two bouncers ran up to him and detained him after his server said he didn't pay the bill. While Plant was face down on the sidewalk, various bouncers for the comedy store began to hit and kick him for an appreciable amount of time, the lawsuit alleges.
Oh, wow.
The bouncer that threw Plant up to the ground while this beating was occurring yelled, "This is for Polly." Shore's mother, Mitzi Shore, co-founded the comedy store in Los Angeles, passing on the former MTV personality after she passed away. He was not present during the incident, according to the file.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So these people, these people brought up Pauly Shore's name, but he wasn't there. So he obviously...
Well, he owns the place.
Yeah, I see where that is in play. But I, are they trying to say that Pauly Shore had it done, or just simply that he owns the place and is liable because he hired these people? Is that what it's saying?
No, it's the bouncers doing it, because it goes on to talk about another case in 2022.
Oh, okay.
That a member of the club security allegedly assaulted a couple, male and female.
Okay, then they have a history of doing this.
It looks like there's a history of this.
And Pauly Shore never did straighten it out after that one, so I guess he is liable then, and then he is going to get sued again. So, okay, whatever. I mean, he kind of deserves it at this point, right? I mean, in my opinion.
Shore was also mentioned in that lawsuit, alleging he was aware of the club's security and their actions, which he agreed with and encouraged the behavior. Okay, that's what the lawsuit is alleging.
Okay. Well,
so he did know about
Yeah, that's what I was asking a minute ago was, okay, I see their angle, and I think because that previous assault that happened, then I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're that worried about it, you'd make sure it stopped, right? You'd get rid of the people, and you let everyone else know you're next if you do this. So, I get it.
Yep.
And I've got a little story here I'd like to go into here really quick and just cap this off. I've kept it around for a while, or actually a couple of weeks now. And anyhow, it's people that thought that they came to the actual ending of The Sopranos, the cut to black. So, back in 2010 or something like that, a few years after the series ended, New York Knicks were trying to court LeBron James to come there next and play. So, this James Gandolfini and Edie Falco, Mr. and Mrs. Soprano, on the show, did a advertisement for LeBron James trying to court him to come to New York. And this was, they were hiding in New York in the witness protection program, and they were kind of pretty much saying, we're in New York, the witness protection program's great, and all that stuff. And then they said, it'd be nice if LeBron came to the Knicks or something. So everyone said, aha, that was David Chase saying what actually happened. Well, David Chase rebutted a couple of weeks ago, and he said, no, that is not what happened. I had nothing to do with that commercial. They came up with that on their own. So, we're back to, it's whatever you read into it, which I think's awesome. So, if you think he got his brain splattered out, that's what happened. If you think he ran away with the loot and lived happily ever after, that's what happened. If you think he got busted and went to prison, that's what happened. So, there you go, guys. You pick the ending, and you say that's what happened, and that's what happened. Anyhow, I guess we'll go ahead and cut this one for tonight, right?
Hello, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Hi, Grandma Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Love you guys. You guys dodged another one in Dodge City again. Oh, dodged in Dodge City. Wow, I didn't mean the pun. But yeah, another bad storm came and just nipped them. So hopefully they were on the other side of that. So
Hopefully they at least got a little bit of rain out of it.
Yeah, I hope they got some rain because like Jimmy was saying, they have been really dry. And now that I've been paying attention, every storm has just been going around them, kind of like here.
Right. Yeah.
Are you guys dry down there
too? This last one, we only got a couple drops out of it.
We got like 0.2 inches. That's it. But we're supposed to maybe get some tonight. We'll see. But all the big storm systems have just simply been going around us. There's been big storm systems that have been to the north, to the south, to the east, you know.
Yeah.
And they've just been going around us. So we're in that kind of a pattern. Are you guys dry down there too?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. That's what I thought. It's kind of like a mid-Missouri, western Missouri thing, northern, north. North is fine. North has been getting all kinds of rain. Northwest Missouri, northeast Missouri. And the cutoff's about 36 Highway. You know where 36 Highway is, of course. Just a little bit to the south of 36 Highway, they've had plenty of rain. Or to the north of 36 Highway, they've had plenty of rain. A little bit to the south of it, been bone dry. So... anyhow, all right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We love you guys. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.